Do you could just adjust it. And the question is this: who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, this question has been asked for centuries, and there's been a lot of different answers. Jesus himself asked the same question of himself. He asked his disciples, he said, "Who do men say that I am? Who am I?" And you know, this question, who is Jesus, is a question that ultimately every single one of us is going to have to respond to, whether it's here on earth or standing before God on Judgment Day. We're going to have to answer this question: who is Jesus? Now, men said of Jesus that he was a prophet. Some said he was a troublemaker, stirring up the people. Then there were others that knew Jesus as a miracle worker. If you ask this question today, you might get the answer, well, he's just a figure from history. Maybe some would dare to say today that he was a good man. Thousands of people today, all Jesus is to them is just a baby that we put on the front of a card, or is the main feature in a nativity play that children will do in Sunday schools or schools around the world. And that's all he will remain. Just a baby. Yet there's still others that will say Jesus is a figure on a cross. And that's where he remains. But who do we say that he is? There's a question for you to ponder. Now, when Jesus asked that question of his disciples, and they said that some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah, he asks this question directly to his disciples. He says, forget about what men say. He says, who do you say that I am? And they responded, because the disciples knew him as the Lord. They knew him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this morning, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, because I want to see what did the angels say about Jesus. While you're turning up Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, perhaps Sandra, just want to give thanks for the offering.
Heavenly Father, we come to this now and we thank you for all that you have given to us. And as we have given part of that back to you, we pray that you would bless it. And you to bless the pastor, the staff, the men, the
Jesus.
Bless all those that work for you here in this part of your vineyard. And bless all those that have given to you just now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So Luke's Gospel chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few verses commencing at verse 8. And the scripture says this. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, in verse 10, we read that the angel came, the angel of the Lord, and he began his what he had to say to those shepherds that were in the field. He says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Now this word, good tidings, is the same word we find in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, where it reads these words. This is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The word Gospel literally means an announcement of good news. I don't know whether you know this, but the word gospel was often used in Roman times as a word, as an announcement that some good news, like a baby is about to be born. You know when, if those of you that have had children, you were trying for children, and then you're pregnant, and you perhaps went to see your parents, and you said, "Mom, Dad, we've got good news. We're having a baby. Or we're getting married." We've got good news. That's the word gospel. Good news. Now, this word, and this is a word which has been, by the church, I believe, been misrepresented. Because the word gospel, you'll hear people say, "Well, we've got to have a gospel meeting." And what they're actually asking us to do, or they're telling us that we need to do, is just proclaim that Jesus died on the cross and that there's forgiveness. Now that's part of the gospel, but it's not the whole gospel. Because the word gospel, now I've been accused quite a lot of not proclaiming the gospel. Not because I don't believe it, but I'm sure as you're aware, my gifting and calling from God is that of teaching.
Amen.
And yeah, I may not say during the teaching that I may not have a teaching on the death of Jesus, and I might not put those things in. And they, you know, well, you don't preach the gospel, you just teach the word of God. Well, the word of God is good news.
Amen.
It is the gospel.
Amen.
So whether it's you're talking about Jesus on the cross, Jesus in the manger, whether you're talking about Jesus the living word, whenever you expound the scriptures, you're proclaiming good news. And that is good news. Why? Because good news of the gospel has become to mean this, that we must tell people about Jesus on the cross, or that their sins can be forgiven. And that's only just part of it. But this angel went on to say something about Jesus. This was the good news that he was bringing, the gospel that he was proclaiming. "There is born to you this day in the city of David," we said we're going to look at what the angel said about Jesus at his birth, a Savior. God's purpose and plan, as we've seen in the studies we've been doing on the Old Testament over the last couple of months, God's purpose and plan was always to send a Savior, a Deliverer. It is what his people needed. It is what the world needed. They needed to be saved from their sin. They needed to be saved from the law. They needed to be saved from death. They needed to be saved from the enemy. And they needed to be saved from the wrath and judgment of God. That's what they needed. Now, the gospel that the angels announced was this, that the Savior had come. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And his name is Jesus." Amen. Do you know his name? His actual name means Savior. Why? We get that. The Holy Spirit gives us that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21. When the angel announces to Joseph, saying that your wife is going to conceive and bear a child, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. He's a Savior. In verse 11 we read of Jesus that he is the Christ. Not only was he Savior, He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was promised that anybody could be a savior. It depended on what the people needed saving from. If it was from Roman oppression, all they needed was a warrior. A mighty warrior. If they wanted salvation from, we saw it in the Old Testament studies, Joshua was a type of savior for them, for the people of God. He led them into the promised land, took them out of their bondage of the wilderness. Moses delivered them from the bondage, God delivered them by Egypt. He was a savior for them. So anybody could be a savior. But the angels announced that this baby born, this was the Christ, the Messiah, God's anointed one, the one that he'd been promised, the one that the world was longing for at the time. He was the one whose coming had been foretold by all the prophets. And this Christ is also, verse 11 tells us, he's Lord. I love this title given to Jesus. The angel said, a savior who is Christ the Lord. Why do I like that word? Because this attributes deity to Jesus. He is God. When we say he is Lord, God himself stepped down into the sphere of time. Jesus was not just a baby. He was God made flesh. You know, the scripture says this in John's Gospel, and I love these words. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then later on in the chapter, in chapter 1, verse 14, it says this. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This baby that was born, Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah, God, the Lord God. But I want to go to verse 14, because there's an interesting thing put in here about Jesus. And it's not been proclaimed like this. Well, I've not heard many people preach these lines anyway. But the angel of the Lord was joined with other angels and the heavenly host. They began to sing, and verse 14 tells us what they sang. They sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. They're singing praise to God, giving glory and honor to God. And then they proclaim, on earth, peace. On earth, goodwill toward men. I want to suggest this morning, and you can take this or you can leave it, but I want to suggest this morning, when they're saying on earth peace, they're not talking about a time of trouble-free, no oppression from their enemies. They're saying that peace had been born. Isaiah prophesied of Jesus, of his coming, 750 years before this event. And you can read it in Isaiah 9 verse 6. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government holder, and his name will be called Wonderful. His name, talking about the one who's to be born, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, said about Jesus, said, he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, I just want to quickly look at before time runs out on me, let's look at peace. This word peace in the New Testament is the Greek word eirene. And this is the New Testament counterpart of the word shalom. Now, the word shalom in the Old Testament encompasses far much more than just a cessation of violence. And we'll get on to that. But there's something else the angels pronounced before we go into peace. They said, it's glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now let me just touch on goodwill. A little bit of teaching this morning for you. Goodwill, this is the Greek word eudokia. And this is a compound word made of two words. One meaning good, and the other meaning to think or have a thought. And when we combine these two words together, we have this word goodwill, which really means to have good thoughts towards somebody. Now we might say, well, goodwill is doing good works. No, this is having good thoughts towards. This is the way the Greek readers and listeners would have understood this word. To have a good thought. Actual fact, we have the same word translated in Matthew 3:17, where the voice came from heaven, God speaking, and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." To have pleasure. A good thought. You know, God's good thoughts towards men. Come with me to the book of Jeremiah. Let's turn it up. I want to read three verses. Book of Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. And here God is speaking. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You know, God says, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking towards you. He says, they're thoughts of peace. They're thoughts of, you're born and the angels pronounce that He was Savior, He was Christ, He was Lord, He was peace, and He was God's good thoughts towards you. Hey, that's... Do you know God thinks good things about you? He thinks good things about you. There's a scripture in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3 it is, I think it's verse 17, where it says that, you know, He rejoices over you with love. You know, we think it's good when we sing songs of praise and worship to Him, but God is singing songs of praise to you. Amen. He's thinking good things about you. Most people's idea of God is that He's there ready to judge, and, you know, you get this image, and they say they're going to zap you when you do wrong. Come on, God's not like that. He's God of love. He's thinking good things towards you today. He knows the thoughts that He thinks towards you. He says, now, thoughts of peace. Now, the message that the angels announced was that God's shalom had come. The one spoken through the prophets. The product of God's good thoughts toward His people. We read the other night in the Bible study a verse, and I just want us to go there again. So if you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. I'm sorry, there's a lot of scriptures I want to bring this morning. Ezekiel 34, verse 23. Who is Jesus? Who is He? Yes, He's Savior. He's Christ. He's Lord. He's peace. He's God's good thought toward you. So Ezekiel 34 verse 23. God here is speaking again. He says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell in safety in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Now here, the prophet Ezekiel is proclaiming the word of God, and he says that, he uses these words, he says, my servant David. My servant David will be a prince among them. Well, who's he talking about? Let me tell you, he's not talking about David, the king. How do I know he's not talking about David, the king? Because David, the king, died about 350 years before Ezekiel was ever on the scene. So how can he say that David will rule over them? Why? He's talking about Jesus. You know, Jesus, and we sing it in the carols at this time. Born of David's line. Once in royal David's city. Jesus has been referred to as David's greater son. David's greater son. And God says he's going to make a covenant of peace. And this peace, this covenant of peace, is made through Jesus. The one that was announced by those angels, you know, the peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. As I said earlier on, peace is more than just the cessation of violence and trouble. Yes, this is included. But shalom and its New Testament counterpart, which is Irene, as I told you, has a number of variations. I'm just going to read through some of the meanings, the variant meanings, that any good lexicon will give you these meanings. And they include these. Now just listen, this is, when we talk about peace, this is what we're really talking about. It's not talking about just being trouble-free and having no violence, no wars, which is what everybody understands peace to mean. Yes, it means that. It means an absence of strife. It means rest from war. But peace, shalom, means the forgiveness of sins. There's the idea of safety and protection in shalom. There's health and healing in shalom. There's soundness of mind in shalom. There is contentment in shalom. Prosperity in shalom and blessing. There's fulfillment and fullness. There's the well-being and welfare of man. Shalom incorporates our relationships and friendships, and in particular, particularly the New Testament counterpart, our covenant relationship with God. Then there's restoration. There's recompense and reward. And the final one is wholeness and completeness. That's peace. So when the Bible talks about peace, that's what it's talking about. Now actually one good and one, if you want to wrap up all those meanings and variations into one single phrase, you could say this. And I heard this and I don't think there's any other phrase that's better. When you're talking about peace, this one all-purpose definition of the word shalom is this. Lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Why? Because You know what it's like if you haven't got enough and you haven't got any, you can't afford to feed your family or pay your bills. You're not at peace. Why? Because you're lacking. You know, when you've got relationship problems and you've got turmoil in your mind, you're lacking. You have no peace. You know, in this verse, in Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 25 that we read just a little while ago, this tells us that God has made a covenant of peace. Now, a covenant is a legally binding treaty or agreement between one, let's say two or three or more parties. And the word covenant means to cut. And in almost all cases of covenant, required a blood sacrifice. You know, I was once asked, in Asia, and you look in Africa, and you say, why do they so easily seem to receive things from God, and God seems to be moving, and away in the Western world, you know, it seems to be so hard and so difficult to break. Why? Well, the simple answer is simple. They understand covenant. It's cultural. They understand what it is to make a covenant. And you know, you cannot break covenant. So when God says something, they know covenant and they believe it and they receive it. And that's why God seems to be working there. Why don't we know that in the Western world? Shall I tell you why? Because we use the word covenant very loosely. We have the idea, we have this in covenant. We have small print. We have get out clauses. It's easy to annul a covenant. When God makes covenant, he's faithful to it.
Amen.
He says this. Write this down. Psalm 89, verse 34. It's an important verse for you to know. Psalm 89, verse 34. If this is the only verse you take away from this message this morning, this is the one. God says this. He says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone forth from my mouth. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips, the scripture says. Isaiah also said something similar in Isaiah 55:11. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Why? Because it's covenant. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Jesus is peace.
Amen.
Now God's made a covenant of peace with us through Jesus. He is our restorer. He is our provider. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is our the one who prospers us and blesses us. He is our fullness. He is our contentment. He is all in all. He's everything that we could ever need or want. Jesus. Do you know something about Jesus? When he was walking the earth, do you know what message he preached and proclaimed? Well, yeah, they say, well, he preached that we needed to repent. You know what the scripture says, his message? One, he says, repent and believe, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his. Do you know what it was? It was a message of peace. Well, how do I know that? Well, Paul goes on in Ephesians 2, verse 17. It says, he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. He came and preached peace. God's covenant, God's kingdom has come. Jesus quoted the Old Testament, and I'll finish with this scripture. In Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, when he stood up in Nazareth, where he grew up, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. This Bible says in Luke 4 that he opened this scroll and he found the place where these words were written, which we know of as Isaiah 61. And he read these words and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it goes on and says that he closed the book and he sat down and he began to speak to them, and he says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Why? Because what's Luke 4:18 and 19, what is it? It's the message of peace. That God is in the restoration business. God is in the healing business. God is setting at liberty those who are oppressed and captivated. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Jubilee. Peace. And blessing. So who is Jesus this morning? He's God's peace. You know, that's all we need in this time. You know, we say, well, if we need this, we need that. No, we need Jesus. We need the peace of God. He is God's good thoughts towards you. So as you're celebrating this week, and as you're with family and with friends, and remember, Jesus is our peace. He's God's good thought towards you. He is the greatest gift that you can ever receive. Amen.
Let's give a hand to God. Amen. Thank you.